Welcome to today's deep dive. And I just have to say, we have a genuinely wild mission ahead of us
Yeah,
today.
you really do. It's a lot to wrap your head around.
Yeah, totally. So we are looking at this massive stack of demographic research that's tracking, the current revival of rural American municipalities. And we are cross-referencing that data with these leaked, highly confidential product documents from an AI infrastructure company called DeReticular.
Right.
And our goal today is to understand how those two completely separate worlds are colliding, basically, to fundamentally redefine what a city actually is.
Which is a huge concept.
It is. So to kick things off, I want you, the listener, to just imagine the current macro internet, like the one you are probably using to listen to us right now. Try to picture it as this massive, sprawling, centralized electrical grid.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. And it is incredibly convenient. I mean, we all just plug in, flip a switch, and we rent a tiny bit of space on it. But it is also incredibly fragile because if that grid goes down, whether it's from like a severe storm or a severed fiber optic cable or even a targeted cyber attack, we go down with it. We are all entirely dependent on this invisible life support system.
Yeah, and I think for most of us, that dependency stays completely out of sight right up until the exact moment it fails.
Totally.
We just operate under this collective assumption that the cloud will, always be there, that it'll
Right.
process our local data, keep our hospitals running, connect our smart devices.
Just it usually is.
Exactly. But relying on hyperscale data centers, like those massive warehouse-sized server farms run by big tech companies hundreds of miles away, that actually creates a vulnerability that is pretty much existential for small municipalities.
Wait, existential? Like truly that severe? Oh, absolutely. I mean, if a cloud server gets hacked, or if, say, a regional telecom outage happens, a small town's critical operations don't just slow down a little bit. They completely grind to a halt.
Wow.
Yeah, emergency services go offline, medical records just become totally inaccessible, and local supply chains freeze up. So the mission of this deep dive is to understand how this one company, DeReticular, is attempting to sever that dependency entirely.
Right.
We are looking at a literal blueprint for turning fragile, remote towns into these unkillable digital islands.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we dive into the crazy technology of it all, and believe me, you guys, the tech gets really wild.
Yeah.
We need to understand the landscape this system is actually being dropped into.
Yeah, context is everything here.
Right, because the popular narrative we constantly hear is just that small towns are dying.
Yeah.
You know, the story usually goes that the young people all leave for the big cities, the manufacturing plants close up shop, and the main streets are just left boarded up, right? And well, that was the dominant narrative for a very long time. But if you look at the demographic data in front of us, it paints a completely different picture today.
Oh, totally.
We are currently in the middle of a massive demographic shift that researchers are officially calling the rural rebound.
The rural rebound.
Exactly. Following an entire decade of really severe population loss, the trend lines have sharply reversed. I mean, between 2021 and 2024, there was a net inflow of 670,000 domestic migrants moving out of urban centers and into rural American counties.
That is just a staggering influx of people. Like, people are actively packing up and heading for smaller municipalities. And you have to assume, like, the remote work boom is a huge catalyst there, right?
100%.
Because people realize they can take their big city salary to a place with, a much lower cost of living, way less traffic, and just better access to nature. But, and this is what I found so interesting, the local economies themselves are transforming alongside that influx, right?
Yeah, remote work is definitely the match that lit the fire. But the structural economy of these towns is almost unrecognizable from the old stereotypes.
Because we always just think of farming.
Exactly. The traditional historical view of rural America is that it's purely agricultural. You picture farms and silos and tractors. But the data shows today only 7% of rural jobs are actually in agriculture.
Wow, just 7%. That completely shatters the stereotype.
It really does. Meanwhile, 41% of the rural workforce is now concentrated in the service and recreation sectors.
That is a massive shift.
It is. So you have this huge influx of capital, remote workers, and service jobs flooding into these municipalities.
But as I was reading through these municipal reports, it became super obvious that as these towns grow, they are hitting a massive structural wall. Like there is a glaring infrastructure crisis happening just beneath the surface of this whole rural rebound.
Yeah, it's a dual crisis, really. And it's specifically centered around healthcare and broadband access.
Yeah.
If you look over the last decade, so between 2010 and 2020, nearly 120 rural hospitals were forced to permanently close their doors due to severe financial strain.
Which is just heartbreaking for those communities.
It hollows them out. It leaves these massive healthcare deserts where residents suddenly have to drive like over 30 miles just to reach a basic emergency room or to see a specialist.
And the proposed fix for that from lawmakers is always telemedicine. You hear it literally all the time. Oh, just do a video call with a doctor.
Right, the magic bullet.
Exactly. But wait, so we have these remote workers flocking to these charming towns with historic main streets, but they can't even get online for a basic telehealth appointment. Looking at the demographic data here, it says 14.5 million rural Americans lack adequate broadband access.
Yeah, that is the tragic paradox of the whole situation. Telemedicine is fundamentally crippled by the digital divide.
Yeah.
Only about 60% of rural households have a reliable internet connection that is actually capable of handling a high-quality, secure video medical consultation. I mean, you just cannot deploy modern digital solutions over failing analog infrastructure.
It's like, okay, it's like building a state-of-the-art smart home in a neighborhood with a failing electrical grid.
That's a great analogy.
Right. You can buy all the fancy Wi-Fi refrigerators and automated security systems you want, but if the foundation can't deliver reliable power, you're fundamentally crippled from day one. You have all this incredible potential, all these new residents and new money pouring into these towns, and it is just trapped.
It really is. And this raises a super important question for municipal planners, which is how do you actually fix the foundation?
Right.
Historically, rural economic development meant pleading with a massive corporation to build a factory or, you know, lobbying for a state prison to move into town just to provide a block of stable jobs.
Yeah, the whole company town dynamic.
Exactly. But those are massive single points of failure. If the factory leaves, the town dies. Because towns now realize they need to own their infrastructure, the strategy has pivoted entirely toward place-based investment.
Place-based investments, okay.
Yeah, instead of chasing a corporate savior, local governments are trying to invest in civic infrastructure, local entrepreneurship, and crucially, digital sovereignty.
Oh, digital sovereignty.
Yes. They don't just want to rent access to the outside world anymore. They want to own their own foundational grid.
Which brings us directly to those leaked documents from Dereticular. Because let's be real, these towns do not have Silicon Valley budgets or like local armies of IT professionals on standby.
Yeah, I don't know.
They need a shortcut. And here's where it gets really interesting. Dereticular has built a product to solve this exact problem, calling it the City Infrastructure Nexus Package.
Yeah, the Nexus Package.
Yeah. I was reading the internal SKU for this. It's labeled SOV BNDL City, and I literally could not get over the price tag. For $129,999, which is roughly the price of a high-end commercial John Deere tractor, a town of 1,000 to 3,000 residents can just buy a turnkey sovereign autonomous city operating system.
It's wild. The audacity of the proposition is just staggering.
Yeah.
The internal documents casually refer to this package as a city in a box.
A city in a box.
Yeah. And the core philosophy driving Dereticular here is really about ending that extractive, highly vulnerable reliance on the macro internet. They want these municipalities to achieve a state they call spherical resilience or island mode.
Island mode. I really love that branding. It sounds like, you know, a setting you toggle on your smartphone when you just want to be left alone, but applied to an entire zip code.
And it functions exactly like that. It means the town can operate indefinitely offline.
Indefinitely.
Mm-hmm. If the global internet goes down, if a solar flare takes out regional communications, the town's internal mesh network, its medical records, its transit dispatch, none of it blinks. It just keeps humming along.
Wow.
And the brain making this localized resilience possible is their rural infrastructure operating system. They abbreviated as RIOS.
Right, RIOS. And looking at the specs for RIOS, we aren't talking about a standard piece of software you just download onto a Dell desktop sitting in the back room of City Hall somewhere.
No, it's way more advanced than that.
Yeah, I was looking at this Trinity Stack architecture in the documents. It looks like they are taking one physical piece of edge hardware and slicing it into three completely isolated virtual environments.
Yes.
You've got a perimeter defense, an internal brain, and an auditor, all running simultaneously on one single box.
What's fascinating here is the mechanism they use to actually do that slicing.
Mm-hmm.
They utilize what's called a Type 1 hypervisor, specifically a system called Proxmox VE.
Okay, a Type 1 hypervisor.
Right. And to understand why that matters, think about how normally when you run a program, it sits on top of an operating system like Windows.
Sure.
A Type 1 hypervisor is different. It installs bare metal directly onto the physical hardware itself, and it acts as the ultimate traffic cop.
Okay.
Think of the hypervisor like the concrete foundation and the structural walls of an apartment building. It allows you to put three completely different tenants into the building, layer one, layer two, and layer three, and it guarantees they share the same physical address, but they have their own locked doors, their own utilities, and they literally can't even see each other in the hallway.
I love that. Let's walk through those three tenants because the way they interact is brilliant. Layer one is the gatekeeper, and this runs a routing software called PeakSense.
Right.
Its entire job is to act as the fortified wall between the town and the outside world.
Right.
Like, it securely bonds whatever external internet connections the town might have, say a satellite dish or local LTE towers, just to maintain uptime if the town actually wants to talk to the outside world.
Exactly.
It's essentially the bouncer at the door checking IDs.
That's a perfect way to put it. Then, safely behind that bouncer, you have layer two, which they call the ledger. This environment runs on an Ubuntu server, and it serves as the actual internal brain of the city.
The actual brain, okay.
Yeah, it handles all the local logic, the peer-to-peer data storage, and the automated notary services. It's where the town's day-to-day business gets executed and officially recorded.
Got it. And finally, there is layer three, which genuinely sounds like something pulled straight out of a spy thriller, the auditor.
Oh, the auditor is just a stroke of engineering genius. It is built on Kali Linux, which is an operating system primarily favored by cybersecurity professionals for penetration testing.
Right, for hacking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the auditor's only job is to constantly, relentlessly scan the town's own internal network for vulnerabilities. It acts as an automated, localized IT defense team. It plays war games against the town's systems 247, actively hunting for any intrusions or weak points before a bad actor can find them.
Okay, but I have a major pushback here based on the sources.
Let's hear it.
We keep talking about AI and all these automated digital services driving the city in a box, right?
Yeah.
But if a town is actively operating in island mode, meaning they're completely cut off from the cloud and hiding behind that gatekeeper layer, how are they possibly using AI?
It seems impossible, right?
Yeah. You can't just access a large language model without an internet connection. It takes massive, power-hungry server farms to run those systems. The whole concept seems totally paradoxical. It's like owning a multi-million-dollar supercomputer but realizing you've lost the power cord.
That is precisely the paradox Derparticular set out to solve with what they call the OpenClaw framework.
OpenClaw.
Yeah. What's fascinating here is that they bypass the cloud entirely by moving the intelligence to the edge.
Yeah.
They run localized AI agents directly on rugged edge hardware right there in the town, utilizing onboard NVIDIA GPUs and what are known in the industry as quantized 4-bit Llama 3 models.
Okay, let's break down quantize for a second because that's really the magic trick here.
Please do.
Quantization basically means they shrink the AI model down so it can actually fit on local hardware without needing a giant data center. They take the massive neural network and they lower the precision of its calculations from 16-bit to 4-bit.
Right.
It's like, think of taking a giant pot of fresh brewed coffee and turning it into freeze-dried instant coffee. You lose a tiny bit of nuance, maybe, but suddenly it's light enough to carry in a backpack. Or in this case, run on a local graphics card.
That is a perfect way to visualize it.
Yeah.
It's highly compressed, highly efficient AI. And because it runs locally, the incredibly sensitive town data it processes never ever leaves the town's physical borders.
Which is huge for privacy.
Massive. The OpenClaw framework powers a whole suite of highly specialized AI agents that come preloaded in the Nexus package.
And the names of these agents are incredibly dramatic. You have the industrial foreman. Like, what is the foreman actually doing on a day-to-day basis?
So, the industrial foreman takes human intent and translates it into physical mechanical logistics. It basically manages the maintenance schedules for heavy municipal machinery, coordinates local supply chains, and crucially, it balances the electrical loads on the town's power microgrids to prevent blackouts.
That's incredible.
And then you have another agent called the Sovereign Elector, which is purely dedicated to cryptographically verifying local voting terminals so they can ensure election integrity completely offline.
Wow. The one that really stood out to me in the deployment documents, though, was the sovereign executive, or in its specific healthcare configuration, the field medic.
Ah, yes, the field medic.
Let's walk through how this actually functions in a real physical town. Because according to the deployment roadmap, this package equips 4 medical clinics and 2 law offices with this technology.
This directly solves that rural healthcare privacy issue we highlighted earlier. D-Reticular secures these communications using a mechanism called a segmented certificate authority.
Okay, I am going to need you to translate segmented certificate authority into plain English for me. What is the actual mechanism making that secure?
Sure. Think of the certificate authority as the ultimate decoder ring for the town's network.
Decoder ring, okay.
When a network is segmented, it means different departments are given completely different, mathematically isolated decoder rings. So picture a general practitioner in one of these towns.
All right.
They just finished examining a patient and used the local AI to transcribe a highly sensitive, massive medical file. They need to send this file to a specialist whose office is clear across town. The medical nodes have one decoder ring, the legal nodes have another.
Right. And normally, to send a file that big, you just email it.
Exactly.
It bounces up to a server farm in Virginia, bounces all around the macro internet, and eventually comes back down to the specialist in the same town.
Which exposes that sensitive data to dozens of potential attack vectors on the public web. But with this segmented system, the doctor beams the file directly over the town's private mesh network. It securely hops from the clinic's router directly to the specialist's office.
Okay, I'm with you.
Even if that medical file passes through the exact same physical wire or radio wave that the local law office is using, the law office's router lacks the medical decoder ring.
Oh.
So to anyone else on the network, that data just looks like random, unreadable static. It bypasses the public internet entirely, remains perfectly HIPAA compliant, and to any outside hacker, that transaction literally does not exist.
That is genuinely mind-blowing. It's essentially a localized ghost network overlaying the physical town.
This is exactly what it is.
But let's ground this in the physical reality of setting it up. You don't just click a link and download a ghost network. The enterprise fulfillment documents outline that deploying this package actually requires dedicated, heavy-duty LTL freight shipping.
Yeah, this isn't a simple software subscription. It's heavy metal infrastructure. When municipality purchases the Nexus package, a flatbed truck rolls up to City Hall and drops off 57 physical hardware units, all stacked on weather-sealed pallets.
It's literally a city in a box.
It literally is.
Yeah.
And the core of that physical deployment is 36 Nomad Mesh Point routers. Local utility workers take these ruggedized routers and they drive around town in cherry pickers, mounting them onto water towers, light poles, and municipal rooftops.
Wow.
This is what casts that unkillable Wi-Fi and LoRaWAN canopy over the entire city grid.
Let's clarify what a LoRaWAN canopy is, actually, because, why wouldn't a town just use regular Wi-Fi everywhere?
Great question. So LoRaWAN stands for a long-range wide area network. Standard Wi-Fi is fantastic if you want to, say, stream a 4K movie, but the signal only reaches maybe a few hundred feet.
Right.
LoRaWAN is the exact opposite. It's a radio protocol designed to send very small packets of data over very long distances, sometimes up to 10 miles, using barely any power.
10 miles.
Yeah. It's like a steady, low-frequency drumbeat compared to the high-frequency screaming of a Wi-Fi router. So a tractor out in a field or a medical alert bracelet on the absolute edge of town can send a crucial, tiny piece of text data back to the central ledger without needing a massive broadband connection.
Okay, that makes perfect sense for coverage. But, and here's my next big question. If I'm a bad actor and I know this town is running a decentralized mesh network, couldn't I just buy a cheap router off the internet, drive into town, spoof the network signal, and start injecting fake data?
You'd think so, right?
Yeah, like couldn't I trick the system into thinking a clinic needs medication or send a false signal to shut down a microgrid?
You've just identified what network engineers call the Oracle problem.
The Oracle problem.
Exactly. How do you trust that the data entering a decentralized system is actually coming from a real, verified source in the physical world?
Right, how do you verify it?
D-Reticular solves this with extreme hardware-level security through a process called radio frequency fingerprinting.
Radio frequency fingerprinting. That sounds like a biometric scan for a piece of plastic.
That is a phenomenal analogy because that's exactly how it works. Every physical sensor or router has microscopic manufacturing imperfections in its transmitter, tiny, tiny variations in the metal and silicon.
Okay.
The software-defined radios in the D-Reticular network scan, for these unique imperfections to create an unforgeable radio signature for every single device on the network.
Wait, so even if I buy the exact same model of router from the exact same manufacturer, my microscopic imperfections will be entirely different and the network will just flat out reject my signal?
Instantly. It won't even process it.
Yeah.
And the security goes one step deeper.
Deeper than that.
Yes. The exact moment legitimate data is captured by a verified sensor, it is cryptographically signed using a non-exportable key that is permanently burned into a factory-sealed TPM 2.0 chip inside the device.
Oh, wow.
Think of the TPM chip like a secure vault with a wax seal that can never be broken. The data is stamped with that wax seal the literal second it's created. Every single piece of data on the town's ledger is anchored to verified physical reality. You cannot fake it.
That is wild. And they are already proving this works in the real world, right? Like, the documents highlight Project Octagon down in La Paz County, Arizona. This isn't just theoretical white paper stuff. They are running this in the desert right now.
They are. La Paz County is the perfect extreme demand environment to test this. As part of their sovereign mobility initiative, they integrated the mesh network directly with electric municipal shuttles. They plugged what they call Nomad Fleet Kits into the buses via CAN bus connections.
Right, and just to clarify, a CAN bus being the controller area network, basically the central nervous system of a vehicle. It bypasses the steering wheel and pedals to let the computer talk directly to the engine and the battery.
Exactly. So the local industrial foreman AI takes over through that nervous system. It manages the route geofencing, it balances the battery loads, and it dispatches these autonomous shuttles, which they actually brand as curb cars.
Curb cars with a K.
Naturally. Mm. And it's doing this to solve a very specific problem.
Mm-hmm.
The non-emergency medical transportation crisis for their aging rural population. It gets seniors from their homes to their doctor's appointments autonomously. And the entire logistical ballet is coordinated over the off-grid mesh.
And looking at the documents, it's not just transit and healthcare either. It's an economic engine. The package comes with three municipal kiosks, these rugged touchscreen monoliths that the town just installs in public squares.
Right.
And they run a local LLM concierge. So tourists can walk up, ask the AI for a good place to eat, and actually book a local hotel room right there on the screen. And because it's processed entirely on the town's own ledger, it completely strips out the middleman fees.
Exactly.
There is no Airbnb taking a 15% cut, no Expedia taking a fee. The money stays entirely inside the town's closed-loop economy.
And this raises an important question about how we fundamentally view municipal budgets. Usually, IT infrastructure is just a cyclical sunk cost.
Right, a bill you just have to pay.
A town pays a massive distant tech company thousands of dollars every single month forever just to keep their emails running and their servers on.
So what does this all mean? When we look at this whole package, you know, the massive demographic shift into rural areas, the healthcare deserts, the air-gapped AI, the mesh router sitting on water towers, it paints a picture of a massive economic transition.
It really does. By deploying this kind of decentralized physical infrastructure network, often referred to as DePIN, a small municipality fundamentally changes its relationship with technology.
DePIN?
Yes. What? It stops renting fragile server space from massive corporations. It upcycles its digital footprint into a permanent, community-owned asset that actually generates local value.
It's like turning a massive liability into an absolute fortress.
Precisely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this matters to you regardless of where you live. Whether you are listening to this from an apartment in a bustling metropolis or a farmhouse in a tiny rural enclave, you are subject to the exact same extractive, centralized cloud vulnerabilities.
Because we're all on the same grid.
We all rely on that fragile electrical grid of the macro internet. What DeReticular is proving in the deserts of Arizona and the small towns across America is that there is a viable alternative blueprint.
Right.
A blueprint where infrastructure generates local resilience rather than draining resources away to a data center three states over.
It completely flips the script. Instead of the small town being the vulnerable outlier that's always playing catch up to the big cities, the small town suddenly becomes the most secure, resilient place on the map. They've essentially built a digital lifeboat.
That's a really powerful way to look at it.
Which leaves you with a really fascinating thought to walk away with today. If a one-time payment of $130,000 can make a single town of 3,000 people digitally autonomous, self-healing, and virtually invisible to global cyber threats, What happens when the lifeboat isn't alone anymore?
Yeah.
What happens when thousands of these isolated, unkillable island cities begin networking directly with one another, peer-to-peer, all across the country? Could the ultimate, most secure version of the future internet actually be a world where the centralized macro grid we all rely on today just ceases to exist entirely?